Let's find our spots. Let's grab Deuteronomy chapter 6, if we could, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a passage of scripture I think every parent should be familiar with. Every grandparent, every aunt, every uncle, every discipler. We should know these verses that we're getting ready to study. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. My goal is to make it to verse 15. I don't know that we will. But that's all right, isn't it, church? It's okay. I don't know if we'll make it that far, but that's all right. If you are of the note-taking kind, I would ask that you write down this sermon title. It's A Household Focus. A Household Focus. Not having a focused household, but you having a household focus, that you are focused on your household. Not that your household is focused, but that you are. So having a household focus, and we find that here for sure, I believe, especially in the first seven verses. And so if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read the first seven verses. I'd like to pray, and we're going to jump right in. Everybody ready? And if you need to move because the shade has moved, then you go ahead and relocate yourself, all right? Don't be afraid to do that. So everybody there, Deuteronomy chapter 6, everybody there? Say amen. Verse 1, he says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Lord, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, and the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we desperately need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that these ancient words that we read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 would not just go through our ears, Lord, that we would not just hear it, but Lord, that it would penetrate our heart, and Lord, that it would be flowed out with our lives. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, so as we hear this, and you might have already tuned out saying, "Yeah, but I don't have kids. Well, this can't apply to me. I don't have any kids." You might one day. Amen. You might one day. It would be wise for you to grab a hold of this passage now and get your house in order, right? Get a household focus now, right? Especially if you're looking at getting married, or you're dating somebody, or you would like to date somebody one day, one year, sometime, right? No, you need to get your house in order. Maybe you're thinking, "I've already raised my kids. They're already gone." Or do you have grandchildren? Do you have a disciple? Let's put it that way. Do you disciple somebody? Are you investing in the lives of people? Because not only do we talk about physical children, we also have spiritual children. Amen, church? Amen. And so there's a way to apply this passage in your life somehow, some way. Amen? All right, so listen. The last few weeks have been very, I would say, practical and yet teachy. And today is just going to be right across the plate practical stuff, right? How can we apply something if we don't know how to apply it? Right, so we're going to just take the words of this passage and jump right in and get after. But I do want to remind you of a verse that's often quoted and maybe hung up in your house and maybe on a wall, might be embroidered on a pillow, it might be somewhere. It's this verse, Joshua 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 verse 15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We love to quote that verse, don't we? We love to talk about that verse. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Well, that's great. You can make a commitment. Hey, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It sounds great, doesn't it? But I think a lot of times we like to quote the verse without really understanding what it means. It says, serve the Lord. Doesn't say believe the Lord. Doesn't say talk about the Lord. Doesn't say pray before every meal, Lord. No, it says serve the Lord. It says, as for me, personal, and my house, we together, corporately, at the same time, will serve the Lord. Well, it's fun to quote verses like that. But when we really dive into Deuteronomy 6, I think it gives us the how-to. What does that look like? Aspect of it. All right, so the message title is simply a household focus. And if you are taking notes, then I would just give you the first point, and you're going to find it in verses 1 and 2. You need to focus on what we're doing right here, right now. Focus on the gathering. Focus here first. If you're going to ever have a household focus, then you got to take what we do here at this moment, at this time, every single week, very seriously. This is not just something the average church does. The average church might have a day in the park. Not a meeting under a few trees and raindrops, week in and week out, because we don't have a building done yet. We have a roof, but it leaks, and it's hot in there. And so we come out here to kind of beat the heat. We come to church at 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of you are like, that's early. And some of you are like, that's too late. Right? We all got different ideas, but we need to take this moment very seriously. And what we accomplish here. Now, I want to pull some things out here in just verses 1 and 2. So Moses has just gotten all these commandments from the Lord. And now he comes to the nation of Israel and says, okay, you wanted the preserved word of God? I'm going to give it to you. So he says this in verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Now, we defined those last time. Those commandments are what God requires. The statutes are what God has regulated, and the judgments are what God has ruled. That's a very simple way to break that down. He says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So why do we gather? What are we focusing on when we come together this morning? We are focused on proclaiming the complete word of God. Tony, why do you preach through books of the Bible? Why do we do it expositionally? Why do we take passages of Scripture and let the Scripture dictate the points? Let the Scriptures dictate. Here's why, because we want to preach the whole counsel of God, not just what I'm comfortable preaching. It protects you and it protects me, right? It'd be easy for me. Actually, it's kind of difficult. I don't know how pastors do it. The ones that find a different random text all the different time, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my mind around that, because that's difficult after a while. You run out of passages. But here, you just got to deal with things as they come. And there might be some things that I'm struggling with that I got to deal with. I got to be right with. If not, I can just shirk it. And so we want to proclaim the whole counsel of God. We want to proclaim the whole complete word of God. And so that's why we do what we do. That's why we're walking through the book of Deuteronomy. Not very many churches are jumping into the book of Deuteronomy. They might grab a passage here or here, but the whole book? Yeah, we're going to cover the whole thing until Jesus comes. All right, so, but notice this. He gives them the word, verse 1, and at the end of this, at the end of verse 1, he says, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So the reason we gather is so that we might hear the complete word of God, so that we might do the complete word of God. You got to take this serious. This isn't just getting together, writing a few notes, and going about and catch you next Sunday. No. We want to apply the word of God. We want to do what it says. But then he takes it a step further, verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Oh, so hearing it and doing it causes me to worship. That's the third aspect of it. It's going to cause you to worship. We should be focused on worshiping through the complete word of God, because we have access to it. We have the word of God. He says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, look at this, and thy son, and thy son's son. That'd be grandchildren. Y'all figured that one out? Thou, thy son, and thy son's son. That means grandchildren. So Moses makes it very clear. Listen, the things that I'm giving you, you got to give it to your kids and to your grandkids. Because I'm not just giving it to you. This word doesn't apply to you just today on this Sunday morning. No, the word applies to your children and to your grandchildren for the rest of their ever-loving lives. That's why we got to take what we do here very seriously. Because if you don't take this seriously, you won't take it seriously at home. And I've heard many a story where it's all smiles and it's all good, it's all shaking hands until you get in the car on the way home. Let's be careful. Because children are watching, children are listening. Oh, Christianity is something you turn on and you turn off. No, be careful. Let's be careful here. All right, so come back over here to Deuteronomy 6. Look what he says here. At the end of verse 2, he says, "And to thy son and to thy son's sons all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged." So yeah, we want to proclaim the word of God. We want to do the word of God. We want to worship the Lord through the word of God. But finally here in verses 1 and 2, we want to envision generations with the complete word of God. We want to give the next generation vision. We want to equip them. We want to envision them. And so if you're a parent and you've got children in the home, please grab a hold of this. Get a hold of this. You got to take what you're doing right now seriously. Because if you don't, they won't. I promise you that. Now, let me make a couple practical applications just right out of this. Not necessarily having to do with the message, but I just want to pull some things out. The first one is this. The received word is meant to be shared. So if God gives you a word, you better be sharing it with somebody. Moses got the word from God and he gave it to the nation of Israel, right? He received the word of God and he shared it. So you have a quiet time. You have a walk with the Lord. You have a time where you spend time with the Lord and opening up his word. What God has given you, you ought to be sharing with somebody. Don't be holding that all up to yourself. Yeah, but it's not that big a deal. It's not very deep. Man, I like to put my feet in the water and just wade around every now and then. It doesn't need to be deep. I just need some refreshing words from God. So whatever God might have given you, do you ever think that maybe I could receive something from that? So the word that you've received, it's meant to be shared. But here's the second application to this. The word that is shared is meant to be applied. It's not enough just to share it. It's meant to be applied. Do it. Put it into practice. All right, hold your spot. Come over here to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We're not going to do a whole lot of flipping today. But Exodus 35. He tells them that they might do it. That you might apply the word of God, Israel. And I think we get a great illustration of what this looks like. Why? Because a discipler can only take you so far. A pastor can only take you so far. A Sunday school teacher can only take you so far. There comes a point where you got to take what's been shared, and you got to do it. You got to take what you've been given and roll with it, right? And so there's a great principle here, I think, in Exodus chapter 35. Look with me in verse 30. God has given the nation of Israel a commandment to build a tabernacle, and they're supposed to get all the materials from all the people. And so they do that, and then they got to put all the stuff together. And they look around and go, well, who's going to do that? Well, God has raised up such a man for that time. His name is Bezalel, and there's another guy named Aholiab. And you find these guys here in Exodus 35, verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him, look at this, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. Why? To devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones and to set them and in carving of wood to make a manner of cunning work. This guy was a craftsman. He could take wood, he could take jewels, he could take metals, and he could create these amazing things. Why? Because God had given that ability to him. But next, catch the next verse. Verse 34, it's not enough for him to know it. He's got to take what he's received and share it. Look what happens in verse 34. And he hath put in his heart that he may, what? Teach. Catch on to that word. We're going to talk about that word here later on. Teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizmach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, in blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. So God gives him all this talent, gives him all this ability, shares it with him, puts it in his heart that he's going to teach and instruct others to do the same. But what good is it if he has all the talent in the world and does nothing with it? You see, the word that's received must be shared, and what is shared must also be applied. Now look at the very first two words of chapter 36. What's the very first two words? Then wrought. In other words, they got busy. They went to work. They applied the knowledge. They applied the wisdom. They applied the understanding. What was received was shared. What was shared was applied. This is a great illustration for us. Now come back over here to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now let's look at verses 3, really to verse 7, but 3 to 6. Because you got to focus on what we're doing here. Focus on the gathering. But if you're going to have a household focus, you got to focus on the gathering. But you also have to focus on you right now. Focus on you right now. Why? Because you can only lead someone as far as you have gone. Did you get that? You can only lead someone as far as you are. And he says in verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." In other words, you're standing here in the wilderness, you're getting ready to cross the river, and you're going to go into promised land. But if you don't have things figured out now, it's going to be a mess then. So you got to focus on you now. In verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Don't get it flipped. Don't get it twisted. It's not might to your soul, to your heart. No, it starts with your heart before you ever get his effort. So many times we want to give God our effort instead of our heart. Be careful. Verse 6, "All and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." We talked about it this last time. I know it was cheesy, but there's a difference between the word "hear" and the word "heart." What is it? T. It's the T. It's the cross, isn't it? It's worship, isn't it? I know it's cheesy, but it's true. So many times we hear it, but we're not engaged in worship, and so it doesn't penetrate our heart. All right, so focus on you. How many of you have ever taken a flight? You've been flying American Airlines, or you flew, you know, United or Southwest or whatever. You took a flight. You've done it. What's one of the things the flight attendants do? They get up there and this is a seatbelt. This is how it works. Like, you've never used one. You use one on the way to the airport, right? Here's the airport. Your seat can be used as a flotation device. A lot of good that's going to do you over the mountains of Colorado, right? Thanks for the help. Appreciate it. But they also tell you, in the case of a sudden change in cabin pressure, they say there's going to be a mass that comes down. And just because the black bag doesn't inflate doesn't mean there's not air coming to it. And what do they always tell the parents? Put yours on first. Why? Because if you're not there, they're sure to die. Right? They always say, you work on you first and then help those who are less able. But every parent, I know what you do. You're like, yeah, right. My kid gets the air first. Wait a second. If you're not there, what are they going to do? That's why the rule applies. And that's what we're focusing on us first. I thought you said we're having a household focus. We are, but it starts with you. Because if you're not right, they won't be. If you're not right in discipleship, no wonder discipleship isn't working. We got to get this figured out. Now, I want you to see something here. He says in verse 3, he says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." Notice this: "that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily." In other words, this idea of being in the future, this future tense. Well, man, it's easy to get focused on where I believe God might be taking me. It's easy to be consumed with, where is God taking me? What is God doing in my life? That I lose sight of where God has me. Did you get that? I mean, we talk about this all the time, especially with kids getting out of high school. Hey, where are you going? What are you doing? What's your major going to be? Where are you going to go to college? I don't know. I haven't figured it out, and that's okay. And yet we're always pointing future, 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 future. What about right now? What about right here and right now? We get so focused on tomorrow that we've stopped living in today. We got to get this. So let me ask you guys, where is your present? Because when we're dealing with Israel, they were in Egypt, a picture of the world, picture of sin, picture of bondage, picture of being lost. And now they find themselves in a place called the wilderness, where they're learning to hear the voice of God, learning what it means, and having some things cut off from them so they can put off the old man, begin to put on the new man. And but there's coming a day we're going to walk across this river, and they're going to go into what's called the promised land, where they're living a life of total victory. Where are you today? Are you in Egypt? Are you even saved? Do you even know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You need to get saved today. How can you desire for your children to walk with the Lord if you aren't? You got to get saved today. Or maybe you're in the wilderness. You're putting off this old man and putting on the new man. Praise the Lord. That's the place to be. Mortify therefore your old man, which is upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, evil concupiscence, covetousness, all these different things. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians chapter 3. Let's get a hold of these things. Maybe this will help somebody. Your tomorrow is determined by the steps that you take today. The decisions you make today, the steps that you make today will determine your tomorrow. I promise. Well, how, you ever done that? Well, how in the world did I ever get here? It might have been the 3,000 steps you just took to get there, right? I can't believe we're in this situation. Well, it might have been the steps that I've already taken. Your tomorrow is determined by what steps you take today. I can play 4 chords on a guitar. That's it. I can play G. I can maybe play 5, but it doesn't work very well. I can play a D. I can play a C. You know, I can even play an A. That's pretty much my repertoire. I don't get very far with it. And every time I pick up Mason's guitar or David's guitar, I pretend like I'm a rock star. And the sounds I make don't at all come out like the sounds that they make. I'm like, yeah, there's a reason I'm a drummer, right? I can hold my own in a pinch, but it's not very pretty. But if I'm ever going to get better at guitar, it means I need to practice, right? It means I need to play one. Now, I was going to do an illustration. We just don't have the time to do that. It was going to be ugly. I'll just put it that way. But I want you to see something here. Come back over here to Deuteronomy 6. He says, verse 4. Well, he tells them to do it in verse 3. Verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these," look at this, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them." What's the them? It's the words. All right, so the idea is that you get inside of you, so it flows out of you into them. In other words, be the example that the next generation can see, that they can sample. Be the example that you're trying to illustrate. Be the example that you're trying to teach. Be it. And I know it's cliche, but we hear it all the time. Children do not learn so much what is taught, that it's more caught, isn't it? They learn by watching. They learn by mimicking. Disciples follow your example. They talk like you. They walk like you. They act like you. They think like you. So just be mindful of that. And how can I expect my kids, how can I expect the person I'm discipling to love the Lord with their life if I don't demonstrate that before them? If you're going to have a household focus, it's got to focus on you first. You got to do it. Let me boil all that down to this little statement. Your life gives what you teach validity. What comes out of your mouth better be reflected by your life. If it's not reflected by your life, then they don't believe a word you say. That also applies to the gospel, church, doesn't it? When you talk like a sailor and you're laughing at the jokes and you're lazy bum at work or whatever it might be, and then you got it, finally get up the courage to share the gospel with somebody, and you're talking about being saved from sin, and they're like, saved from what? Because I don't want to be anything like you. Because if there's no change in your life, there's no validity in the message that you're proclaiming. We got to get a hold of this. And that's what he's talking about. He says, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, with all your mind. And guess what happens when you love? The word gets in and is reflected in the life. Now, here's an illustration. I'm just going to give you two verses. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, and Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. We don't have time to flip over there, but let me just give them as an illustration. It's all about Timothy, this young man named Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 5, Paul writes to this. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul says, hey, Tim, you have faith that is real. It is not fake. It is unfeigned. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded in thee also. In other words, grandma had faith, mom had faith, and guess what? Timothy had faith. Then you cross-reference that with Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul's on his way into town, and he gets to Derbe and Lystra. He says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, whose name was Timotheus. Well, who turned him into a disciple? It wasn't Paul. It was grandma and mom. Because they had a walk with God. They poured it into this boy. They poured it into this young man. He says, a son of a certain woman, check this out, this is important, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And maybe you're one of those here that brought your children. You are here, but a spouse is not on board. Let me just tell you, you can still have a major impact in your children. Just because dad doesn't want to serve the Lord doesn't mean that you can't. They may not have been able to go on mission trips. They may not have been able to do a whole lot of different things, but they could pour their guts into this young man who did go on mission trips and tore the world upside down. Let's get a hold of that. Because here's a young man who had a dad who wanted nothing to do with the Lord and a mom who wanted everything to do with him. And mom did it. All right, so that takes us to verse 7. And the third point would be simply this: focus on the next generation. So focus on what we're doing here now. Focus on the gathering. Yes, focus on you. You are important, because if you fall, they fall. But it takes us to this next point. It's verse 7. You got to focus on the next generation. And I know what you're thinking. Okay, this is me. I gotta get a household focus. How do I do that? Give me the goods. All right, here's the goods. Verse 7. Verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now let's make some practical illustrations here. Let's make some practical applications here. If you won't disciple your children, I got news for you. Someone will. If you won't disciple your children, the school will. If you won't disciple your children, the college will. The workplace will. The streets will. If you're not going to do it, somebody else will. You're always making a disciple. You're always making a disciple. Are you making a disciple of you, or are you making a disciple of Jesus? Now, he tells them way back in verse 2, I'm giving you the word. And it applies to you, it applies to your son, and it applies to your son's son. Moses is letting them know, I can't always be there to give the goods unto your grandchildren. Moses is going to die here very soon. He's letting them know it's their responsibility to give it to the children. Look what he says in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them. He doesn't say, and bring them to church and the church will teach them. What does he say? Thou shalt teach them. So don't expect this right here to be the only Bible your children hear. Don't expect this moment right here to be the only word of God that you give to a disciple. Translation, don't expect the church to do it. We are only here to reinforce what you're doing at home. We're just reinforcing. Oh man, every time we come to church, those guys are talking about what you're talking about, Mom. That guy's always talking about what you're talking about, Dad. Yeah, because we're reinforcing what you're doing at home. Don't let your home be your reinforcement of the church. No, the church is the reinforcement of the home. Why? Because the home is the center of the ministry. That's where it is. And then he takes it a step further. He says, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Translation, here's what he says. Everyday life is your classroom. Every moment of every day is an opportunity. It's the classroom. In other words, object lessons. You need to use object lenses, hands-on. So, husbands, as you're cleaning out the refrigerator, because I know you clean out the refrigerator, it's not your wife, right? Kara's looking at me like, you don't clean out a refrigerator. No, but inside, I am. So when you're cleaning out the fridge and the little kid comes and says, hey, can I help? And everything in you says no, because I want to get it done faster if you don't help. We're going to get this done a lot faster. No, you can invite them to help. Why? Because there's a great learning experience, right? We got to get order into our lives. Look at this. This thing's out of date. It's got to go. There's things in our lives that just has to go. It was good at one time, but now it's gone. It's not going to be good for us. We got to throw some things out. Oh, you think we need to make a list of the things that we do need? So I'm putting off and I'm putting on. It's an illustration for our children, isn't it? I mean, it just goes crazy how many application times you have to teach the Word of God. And it's not always sit down, let's have a lesson, children. And they get lessons all the time, don't they? We have lessons all the time. Be careful. So maybe this will help you. There's a difference between the word lecture and the word teach, isn't there? Because a lecture, all it does is it focuses on academics. All it does is focus on the what. But a teacher? Oh, man. Now, I've had teachers that are nothing more than lecturers. And I can't tell you anything that they ever taught me. I regurgitated everything for the test and went out. Gondo. But the teacher that went beyond the lecture and didn't just give me the what, but gave me the why and gave me the how, I mean, that stuff stays with me. I still remember it because that's teaching. Teaching is application. Lecturing is academics. Amen, church? And now, my kids are going to rat me out, but I'm pretty good at lecturing at times. You know, Kale's like, I'm not even making eye contact. No, I'm pretty good at doing lectures sometimes. What good is that for my children? There's no good. There's no benefit in that. Lectures. If all I'm getting is the what without the why and the how, it's dangerous. So he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Listen, it's easy to have a commitment. We hear a message like this, says, man, I'm just going to do better. I got to be better. I got to do this. Listen, we need more than conviction. We need commitment. And that's what he's talking about. This is a day in, day out. Every moment of every day, I'm pouring into my children. I'm teaching them. I'm pouring into my disciple. If your discipleship is only sitting down across the table and opening lessons and there's no life exchange, that's not discipleship. It's not. That's academics. You got to spend time together. Laugh together, cry together, work together, labor together. So let me just kind of give you rapid fire some points that might help you out here. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. All right, so let me give you the how. We've talked about the why, let's give me the how. It's going to require effort on your part. It's going to require purpose. He says, talk of them. He doesn't say lecture with them. Talk means conversation. It's going to require conversation, isn't it? That was the best part of when I was in school. That was the teachers that I wanted. I couldn't wait to go to their class because I knew there was going to be dialogue. I knew there was going to be back and forth. I wasn't just going to sit there and listen to this guy. That's why I like it when you talk back. I like it when you talk back. I like it when we have interaction. I love hearing the amens. So it requires effort. It requires conversation. But notice this. It says, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, there's got to be relationship there. You're doing it together. Spending time together. Being present. Did you know you can be in the room but not in the room? Did you know you can be in the car but not in the car? If you're going to be present, be present. Every man knows what I'm talking about. We tend to go to the nothing box as often as we absolutely possibly can. Kara says, what you thinking about? Huh? What? I wasn't thinking about anything, and it was awesome. Kind of loved it. It's the nothing box. I don't know who coined that phrase, but it's true. But it's going to require relationship. It's going to require effort, conversation, relationship. Here's another thing. It's going to take some awareness on your part. Hey, this is a teachable moment. I can use this as an illustration for my kids. This is a great teachable moment. Look and search and trust the Lord for teachable moments to pour into your disciple, to pour into your children, pour into your grandchildren, pour into your nephews and your nieces, pour into your Sunday school kids. And I think this is the big one. It's going to require repetition. You're going to have to do it over and over and over and over again. Yeah, but I taught them that once. Oh, really? Once? It's going to take more. Over and over and over again. All right, so we're not going to get any farther. We're just going to hold up right here. That's a lot to chew on. That's a lot to process. But let me, before you close up and start putting everything away, let me just kind of give you some final practical thoughts that really don't have anything of what we're talking about, but I think they're just good. And the rain's coming, right? So let's get after this quickly. When you love someone, it's going to be evident. And how will it be evident? Here's how. In the care of the words that they have spoken to you. He says, you're going to love me with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and the words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. In other words, when you love the Lord, you care about what he says. When you love your wife, you care about what she says. When you love your husband, you care about what he says. When you love your children, you care about their voice. You care about what they say. How you care for the words that they have spoken into you. But it takes it a step further. You love someone by what words you speak into them. The way you speak into them. The way you pour into them. You love your children, you speak into them. Hard words at times. Kids, don't think, you're not loving me, you're talking harsh. Sometimes love is harsh. But it's also over and over again. We've got to be careful what comes out of our mouth towards our spouse. What comes out of our mouths towards each other. Because the words you speak into them are motivated out of the love. It's a reflection of love. Let's be mindful of that. Maybe this will help you as well. You should love what you teach. You should love what you teach. Because if it hasn't changed you, I guarantee it won't change them. I took physics in high school, partly because I didn't want to cut things up in biology class, so I kind of went the mathematic route. Should have flipped that. The only reason I passed mathematics was because I cheated from Letitia Omi. I made sure I sat behind her every single class and said, "What you got? I'll miss that one on purpose, but I'm copying." I'm not saying it was right. That's just how I did. I took physics class, and my teacher walked in the room and says, "I've never taught physics. I don't like physics, but they're telling me I'm teaching it now, and we got a brand new book." We're like, this is not going to be good. And it was horrible. It was like the worst class in the world. It was horrible class. Why? Because she didn't like it. She didn't want to teach it. And I didn't want to learn it. So I think we all just decided, you get a C for how you taught, and I get a C for just enduring it. That's kind of how we decided it was going to go down. I think everybody got C's that day. So you should love what you teach. That's exactly what happens here. Because they love the Lord, the Word of God is in them, and you instruct it. You see that in verse 7. But let's take that one step further. You are going to teach what you love. You are going to teach what you love. I promise you. You will always teach what you love. Let me ask you this. Does your family know more about sports, cars, crafts, tools, and politics? Do they know more about those things than they do God? That's a big one. Because we instruct the things that we love, right? Does your family know your testimony? Does your family know your life verse? We're almost done. Don't freak out. Does your family know your life verse? Does your family know where you're reading in the Bible right now? Because Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks."